As they said, they will be around after the service at the back, and you can get in touch with them if you have some more questions. Now let's head into the Word of God. The scripture portion for today comes from Psalm 46, and I'll be reading from the NIV version today. Psalm 46. Of the sons of Korah. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we are heading on to listening and meditating from your word, I pray that you prepare our hearts to hear and to understand from your word, Lord. And I pray for Pastor Alex as he's preaching, fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray that we will be able to understand and be clear, and that we will be able to take it home, what you have laid in his heart for us, Lord. So yes, Lord, prepare us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. I don't know whether you've realized those were the words we sung in the second song. So did you realize when we were reading? Yeah, great. Great song and great psalm. Actually, I was selecting this psalm for today about 2 weeks ago when we were on our church retreat in Austria before everything happened politically. And it's a crazy situation currently in the Middle East, I think, right, with Israel and Iran. And Israel has had many notorious enemies. I mean, in old times, Egypt and Babylon and Assyria, and then in newer times, Hitler and, you know, Stalin and all of these guys. And now it's Iran and all of its proxies all around Israel. And from my perspective, it feels like Psalm 83, verses 2 to 4, see how your enemies grow, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning, they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation so that Israel's name is remembered no more. That's what they're saying in Iran and Hezbollah and all the others, and the Houthi. Let us destroy them as a nation so that Israel's name is not remembered anymore. It's pretty much what's happening today. And then the Romans, they drove the Jews out of the Holy Land. They were in diaspora for 2,000 years almost, and God brought them back to their land, as he has promised in Jeremiah 31, verses 10 to 11. Hear the word of the Lord, you nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. He brought them back into their land. Did he bring them back to be destroyed again by Iran and the others? I don't think so. I think this psalm we're talking about today, in Psalm 46, gives an answer for exactly this situation. God is strong on Israel's behalf. And even though Israel is not the Israel that God wishes it to be, right? It's not a people of God currently. It's a deeply atheistic country. But God has promised to bring them back. He has done it. And when you look at the history since then, what he did with this nation, it's amazing. I think what we see currently is amazing. How they won impossible wars in 1967, the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War in 1973. And I think today, it's a miracle. That tiny little country, it's a miracle. My only explanation is that God is with them. That's my only explanation. And that's what this psalm is about. It's a psalm for Israel. It speaks about Jacob later in the text in verse 7. It's the fortress of Jacob is our God. But this psalm has like three parallel levels of meaning. And one is it applies to Israel now. And second, I mean, if you've listened to it when we read it, it has a lot of prophetic end-time language, right? So it speaks about the end times. And also thirdly, it speaks about you and me and our relationship to God. And let's explore all three of those today. So why am I so bold to say it also applies to us? Let me read Romans 15, verse 4 to you. Everything means everything, not most of the things, but everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So this is one thing. It's written for us also, but it's also the same enemy we talk about. The original enemy of Israel is the original enemy of the church. It's Satan. It's the one who drives those crazy people to destroy a nation for no logical reason. This anti-Semitism is a really illogical and weird thing. And the only explanation you can have for that is that Satan is at work. So, but the same enemy is against the church, against you and me. So all the words we read also apply to us. The psalm itself also not only speaks about Jacob, but also about the nations in verse 10. So it's another reason to apply it to ourselves. So let's dive into it and start with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. So these few words are so strong. And if you pronounce them in different ways, you get what I mean. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. God is our strength. God is our refuge. Isn't that a sentence that is deep enough for a whole sermon? It's really deep. So, let's take the verb. God is. So it's not a question, maybe, was, will be. God is today your refuge and your strength. He is the refuge and strength for Israel also. And he will be the refuge and strength when the end times come. And it's not a refuge and strength for someone, but our personal, not someone else's, is your refuge, your strength, my refuge. Refuge is a interesting word also, because we cannot do anything about the refuge itself except for hide in it, right? We go there and get protection. It's not something we do ourselves. So if God is our refuge, the only thing we have to do is hide ourselves in God. I recently went to a student's retreat from Campus Crusade for Christ, and they surprised me with an introductory question about myself. And what they asked me is, give a synonym for your relationship to God, one word. I said, how can you do that? And I said, hand. It was really spontaneous, given by God, the word. But it's really how I feel about God. God's hand is strong. I'm hidden in his hand. He holds me in his hands. And this is how I feel about my relationship to God. And this is exactly what this sentence says. God is our refuge. We are in his hands. And he, in his strong hands, he holds us safe and secure, no matter what's happening. On the other hand, refuge is a passive thing, right? We go there and the protection happens to us. We don't have to do anything about it. Whether it's a physical attack, a psychological attack, a spiritual attack, lies, fear, accusations, pain, sickness, whatever, we can go and hide with God and be safe. And be safe. So the only thing we can do is go there and not somewhere else, right? God is our refuge. No health insurance, other people, money, you know, and so on and so on. Nothing else can be a safe refuge for us. Only God can be our safe refuge. Only God. And he can be our strength. Hiding can be done in a really weak way, right? So you can go in a corner and shiver like that and say, oh, I don't know what's happening. But you can also hide strongly. Say, I know my God is strong for me. My refuge is a strong refuge. And that's exactly also the situation the church is in, right? When Jesus when Peter gave his confession, or when Peter, he talked to Peter after that, he said, on this confession, I will build my church. On this faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail it, because my church is a refuge where I hold my hands over it. But also, the church is an offensive weapon in the hands of God. We also have strength to overcome darkness with light, to overcome lies with truth, to overcome fear with boldness, and so on. So God is our refuge and our strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Oh, this is so interesting to study those words. This ever-present alone is worth a whole word study in the Bible. Actually, the word ever, when you take two words, ever-presence is actually in the Hebrew two words also. Ever means muchness or force or abundance or exceedingly. It's not only all the time. It means strongly, strongly present all the time. And the word present in the Hebrew comes from a word to find. We can find him easily. We just have to go there, and he's there strongly all the time. And the logical conclusion of that is, therefore, I will not fear, in verse 2. Because whatever I need, God is strongly there. I can find him when I go and pray. He's there, and he's strongly there. Whatever is needed, he has exactly what I need in this moment. And no one and nothing else can hold him back, because he's strongly present for him who seeks him. So verses 2 to 8 or 9, they are strongly, all the words, you can see it easily, are about end time things, right? When the earth gives way and the earth melts and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea and so on. We know these words from Matthew 24, we know them from Revelation 6, from Isaiah 24 and so on. Those are words about the end times. I read them again. Though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and form and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Yeah, end time language, definitely. First, the judgment of God on the earth. The earth melts, the mountains fall into the sea. Then, how God keeps his saints safe in that time, how they are glad. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In ancient times, when a city was under siege, the most important thing was to have drinking water. Because without drinking water, a city is easy to conquer. You siege it for, let's say, 3 weeks, and then it's done. And the interesting thing about Jerusalem is it doesn't have a river other than other big ancient cities. Jerusalem doesn't have a river. But it will have a river, as Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 47 in end time prophecies. There is a flowing river from the temple that provides for the people of God, but this is the new Jerusalem. It's not the old Jerusalem. So to bring it together in end time, so there's the judgment, and later there's the new Jerusalem where the whole Most High dwells and where people are safe and glad. And he will end all wars, because in heaven or in the new Jerusalem, there will be no wars. And that's why it says here, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. When Jesus comes back, there will be no war anymore. He will be our provision. He will be there in the city of God. So in verse 7 and 8, it speaks about Jacob. And now I have to reveal what my end time beliefs are. So there's a time in the history to come, which Revelation speaks about in chapter 7, or Jesus speaks about in Matthew 24. This time is called the Great Tribulation, when really the earth melts, literally, where really mountains fall into the sea, where God's wrath is on this earth. The same time is called the Day of the Lord in Isaiah or Zephaniah. And it's called, in Jeremiah 30, the Day of Jacob's Trouble, or the Time of Trouble in Daniel, or the Indignation or Outpouring of Wrath in Isaiah and Daniel, or the Day of Vengeance in Isaiah. But what informs me is here in the text, it says, it speaks about Jacob and the time of Jacob's trouble. This is the time when the church has already been raptured, because we, as a church, we are not children of wrath, as Romans says. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ, We're not under his judgment anymore. When this time comes, the judgment of all ungodliness on this earth, this judgment will be only for non-believers. And we as a church will be raptured before that. But then a time starts when the Antichrist gets revealed and all this, and Israel, there will be believers in Israel, and God will pour out his spirit in Israel, and they will have a hard time. That's why it's called the days of Jacob's trouble. So this is what these verses are about. But imagine when Jesus comes back after that time, and there will be no wars anymore. After his judgment, there will be only peace. That's an amazing thought. After he has judged the world, there will be only peace forevermore, everlasting peace. Imagine a world with peace between all the nations, within families, and even in our very souls. Absolute, the peace of God. Amazing thought when Jesus comes back. So let's read some of the verses again. Let's read verses 1 to 2a again. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. You will say, okay, let's apply, I want to apply this to you. And you say, okay, Alex, you don't know what I'm going through. I hear that. Yeah, that's why the psalmist took, let's say, the worst case scenario, when the earth melts and the mountains fall into the sea. So he takes the worst case scenario to tell you, no matter what you're going through, take those words. And when you look, when we look at the at these verses following, we see three. I reduced that. We see four reasons why we are not to fear. Why? Number one, because God is near. And God makes it abundantly clear and says it five times in this psalm. And I hope you get it when I repeat it. So it says in verse 1, he's ever present. You can find him anytime, and he's strongly there. In verse 4b, it says that the Most High dwells in the city, and we are there. In verse 5, it says, God is within her. In verse 7, it says, God is with us. And in verse 11, it says, the Lord God Almighty is with us. So God repeats it five times. So I think he means it's serious. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. You are just a prayer away from me. And then he says, even I'm here, even if the earth is moved, I am not moved. I'm strongly here. Even if the mountains are shaken, I am not shaken, says God. I'm here. I'm strongly here for you. Even everything may fall, God stands for his word. He'll keep his promise to be near. Number two, knowing God's power and greatness. When he lifts his voice, the earth melts. There's not much more power you can have on this earth, I would say. When he lifts his voice, the earth melts. This God, who is strongly available for you, he is a strong and mighty God. When he speaks a word, the earth melts. Imagine when he speaks a word into your situation, into your problem. How easily would it melt? In verse 10 it says, know, be still and know that I am God. That's my encouragement to you. He is strongly there for you. And he is really strong. He's really powerful. Be still. Be still and know I am God. And then in two verses, God is called the Lord of hosts or the Lord Almighty, the God who has everything in his hand. And thirdly, knowing God's provision. So number one, knowing God is near. Number two, knowing God's power and greatness. Number three, knowing God's provision. The city of Israel, which doesn't have a river, now has a river. God provides what we need. He provides a refuge. He provides water. And then it says in verse 5, the city will not fall. At the break of day, he will come for its help. Which means you pray probably for a long time for a situation, for something that is really important to you, and you're at the verge of giving up, at the verge of being disappointed with God. But God knows the right time. And he will be there at the right time. At the break of day, the right time, he will be there to rescue. And then this water reminds us, of course, of what Jesus said about the water he will give in John 4. He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He's speaking about the water you and I drink, which reminds me of my voice. I will be thirsty again after that. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never, never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's the God who is our refuge and our strength and our well. Verse 9. Oh, I already had that. I wanted to apply it to you. This peace he gives us as a strong peace because we originally had war with God himself. As the Bible says, we were his enemies. We were at war with him. But when Jesus died at the cross, he made peace between you and God. And this peace is the strongest peace you can have because it lives from the inside and creates peace on the outside also. And then verse 10, he says, be still and know I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The end result of difficulty always is God's glory. And it's interesting, you can think of the current administration in the U.S. what you want. And there are some trouble, some things. But yesterday night, when Trump announced that they bombarded the nuclear facilities in Iran, he gave God the glory. And he said, we continue to seek for wisdom, for God's wisdom. So whether that's a good thing or not, whether they really listen to God or not, I leave it up to you. But when you go through stuff and through difficulties, and even if it seems the earth melts away underneath your feet, God will be there as your refuge and strength, as your provision, as the water of life, and he will be there in this situation, in a specific situation, at the right time, at the break of day. And the end result of that will be God's glory. That's what our lives are about, right? God saves us out of our own mud and to his own glory. So, how do we hide ourselves in the hand of God? How can we take hold of this promise? And you know the answer, I guess. Trust him. Be still. Trust him. Be still. We have a little hand lettering done by my daughter in our bedroom. It says, "Give it to God and go to sleep." That's how we hide ourselves in the hand of God. Be still, and know I am God. Amen.